Excuse me, there's many things on your mind this morning. After the murder of 20 young children from the ages of 5 to 10, I believe it was, in Connecticut, and then six adults, six teachers in that school were murdered by a young man 20 years old, and a lot of questions go on in our mind about that, and I thought I'd take a few minutes this morning and maybe try to address that issue for you, at least in my thinking, as I think about it. We know that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and Jeremiah tells us that, and we know that men, unsaved men are of their father the devil. John tells us that in John 8:44 that he was a murderer from the beginning. That is, Satan himself was a murderer from the beginning. His children follow in his footsteps. It doesn't surprise me that it's happening. Our culture is bent in that direction. And they don't have the answer. They don't know what the problem is. In the Colorado Theater a couple of weeks ago, in Oregon Shopping Center, what is it, a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, and now this murder in Connecticut, and you could back up and you could cover a whole number of these things of mass murders that take place. I don't know if you know that there were over 400 murders in the city of Chicago this year so far. That's more than one a day, 400. So our society, there's something wrong with our society. A couple of weeks ago, you remember the NFL football player that killed his girlfriend and then went to the football field and took his own life. It's interesting the reaction to that happening. And Bob Costa, as many of you know, spoke about gun control at that moment as if it was the guns problem. I look at that picture and I think, what's wrong with that kind of, what kind of thinking they're going on? Is the gun the problem? You know, then last week or a week before that, you have the guy that's driving drunk, the NFL football player driving drunk with his companion, another NFL football player, and he has an accident and kills the guy. What's the problem? Is it alcohol? Is that the problem? I was listening this morning to Fox News as I was getting dressed, and they had a gentleman on there from West Point. I don't know what his position is there. I didn't hear that. But he was saying that he believes that things... We're just scratching the surface of these kind of happenings. It's going to be far worse, and we need to be prepared for it. He says the real problem is our culture. We have a culture of violence. The video games that the kids play, and I agree with that. But you know, the real problem is the heart. But he's saying that the games that they play, and they shoot the people in this video, and it's not just once they shoot them, but they shoot them a number of times. And it was interesting that those little kids were shot not just once but multiple times. In that school. I can't imagine what that's like. I can't imagine what's going on in the minds of those people. I said this morning in the first hour that all of us are thinking about our children and our grandchildren that we send off to school every day. How frightening it is to think that could happen. And it's happening more often. You know, it happened once in a while. Now it's an occurrence that's happening almost, I don't want to say weekly, but monthly. It's going on. And I'm also interested on Fox News again. That's probably the only news station I watch, but I was watching Fox News and they were talking about, is there a moral problem in this country? Is there a moral problem in this country? There's a moral problem in this country, that's for sure. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And, you know, what we've done, or what society has done over the past 50 years, we sort of have drifted away from the moral standards that this country was established on. I've told you this before, I'll tell you it again, America is not a Christian country. a country cannot be Christian. A Christian deals with a personal relationship, and a country can't have a personal relationship with God. It's a non-entity as far as it's not a living entity. I said this morning that no more than my car can be a Christian or my house can be Christian. Christians live there, and a Christian may drive it, but it doesn't make the car Christian. And there are Christians that live in America, but it doesn't make America Christian. Our founding fathers, some of them were born again believers, some of them weren't. But there was a moral fiber that was born into them, was taught them from birth up. They didn't take God out of the picture. We have in the past 50 years drifted away from that moral fiber. You can't have the Lord's Prayer anymore. And many of you remember, as I remember, every day when I was in school, we recited the Lord's Prayer. Every day. We pledged allegiance to the flag. We don't do that anymore. We were punished for things that we did wrong. Now it's not the kids, it's the teachers that are wrong. And so we're moving away from any kind of moral training for our children, and we wonder why this is happening. I wrote somewhere in my notes that we've drifted away for 50 years. We're no longer drifting. We're racing. We're racing towards that goal of removing everything that is Christian or relates to God, at least if it's Christianity. It's all right if you're a Muslim, but it's wrong if you post the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not a legalist. Don't you misunderstand. I don't believe that we live by the Ten Commandments. It's a moral standard that God has established for man to look at himself. And I don't keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not for me to keep. But those laws are a boundary for us to think about and establish some moral fiber in our country. We've taken away the Ten Commandments. We've removed them not only from the schools. We've removed them, and we want to remove them now from the public altogether. We'll take them out of the public buildings. You can't have a plaque on the wall. You can't have anything that has to do with Christianity. And then we wonder what's happening. We take God out of the picture, and the more we take God out of the picture, worse things get. Did you notice that? I'm interested in Chicago, or in Illinois, and Colorado, and Oregon, and Connecticut. Very liberal states. Now, I don't want to put politics in this, but you understand that the drift that they're pulling away, they're running away from anything. I want to remind you that God's still in control. And when those 20 kids were killed and those 6 teachers were killed, God was there. He's still in the same place he was and he's ever been, and is on his throne. I don't understand it all. I cannot imagine. The coroner up there said that that's the worst thing he's ever seen in his life, to look at those little children being shot multiple times. It's sickening. And Linda and I have struggled with it. We talk about it. You know, what's happening? Why did God permit this? And I don't know the answer to it. Not only did he permit it, but he has a plan. And that sort of blows your mind when you think that in his plan, that these murders that took place. And I said to Linda, you know, I said, it's not unusual. This has been going on for millenniums. When Joshua went into the city of Jericho, he was instructed to kill every man, woman, and child. I don't know how many children were there. And they took the Holy Lands, and they were to get rid of all the heathen in that land, because it was God's land. It was a holy land. I understand that. I don't understand them going into the school and shooting. Is God working? Is God moving in our country to say, maybe there is a moral problem. Maybe there is something wrong with us. Maybe someone's going to come up with a bright idea that this all began when we started to remove God from the picture. I can't imagine someone going, I don't know, these ladies were 87, 84, 87, and 91, and I'm tasering them, punching them. Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine myself. I mean, I'm just as bad as they are, and I probably would be, could do that if I were, you know, in the natural state. I'm a born-again believer, and I know there's a power in me, but I can't imagine even before I was saved doing anything like that. And it wasn't that I didn't fight, believe me. But I can't imagine doing that. Now, I know that there are mental problems, and I know that there are problems in our society that need to be corrected. And certainly we shouldn't let a man who's, this young man, or whatever sick he was, if that's what his problem was, I don't know, we're still looking at that. But if he's as sick as he was, why he wasn't in some place where they couldn't help him, or at least control him? See, our real problem in our country is not the guns. It's not the alcohol. It's, you know, I told my wife when the shooting took place in Colorado, what we ought to do is outlaw all shopping malls. Right? That's a good way to, you know, we won't have that problem again, right? And when the guy was driving drunk and he killed his wife, what we do, we would just take away all the cars. And if someone shoots someone, we take away all the guns. And if someone stabs someone, we'll just take away all the knives. And if someone hits someone with a baseball bat and kills them, we'll take away all the baseball bats. We'll finally get to the root of the problem, won't we? Listen, the root of the problem is in here. That's where the real problem is, in the heart of man. And you can take it all away, and there'll still be murder. Let's see. Adam had two sons. Esau? No. Now my mind went blank. Had two sons. Cain and Abel, okay. Cain and Abel. They didn't have any guns. They didn't have any baseball bats. They didn't have any knives. They didn't have any cars. They didn't have a shopping mall. And it was still murder. See, it's a heart that's the problem. It's always been the problem. What can we do about it? I mean, we're just a little congregation. What can you do about it? Well, we can pray, certainly. We have an opportunity as citizens of this country to vote. And I hope all of you did. We ought to pray, and I've been praying for those families in Connecticut, that God, that they would open their eyes to the truth. And maybe this is God calling this country back to some sense of morality, that the real problem is not the guns, and the real problem is not the cars, and the real problem are not the knives and the bats and the taser guns. The problem is the heart of man. And I hope that you pray for these people. See, I don't think that God slipped up on any of this. That, oh boy, that young man slipped out of my, you know, I should have had a little more control over him. Could God have prevented it? I suppose he could have. But I don't know the way God works all the time. And I know what he does is differently than the way I would do it. And maybe for the sake of one soul or 26 people, lives worth that? I don't know. Maybe two souls? Maybe three? Who knows? Is God working? I believe God is working. Are we going to become a moral country again? I doubt it. We may have gone over the cliff already, not a financial cliff, but a moral cliff. And we won't get back. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I observe human history, and I know there are peaks and valleys in human history. And, you know, there was revival in the end of the 19th century, and then we went down, and we're still going down. Will there be another revival in our country? I don't know. See, we need a voice in the wilderness. We need a lot of voices in the wilderness, and we're living in the wilderness. Can we do anything? Well, we certainly can share the gospel. We certainly can be praying for people. We certainly can vote. We certainly can go to our politicians and make our ideas and our feelings known to them. See, years ago, Hal Lindsey brought out a book called Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. Do you know what? He's still alive and well on planet Earth. He's still doing his thing. And maybe this is all done for us, that we might realize that and come to grips with this. Somehow we live in a dream world, that we think things are going to get better. I don't know if things are going to get better. I thought that 25 years ago. I thought that 50 years ago when I saw the marches in San Francisco and the burning of the buildings in Los Angeles. I thought, well, things will get better after that. I mean, who's going to put up with that? Who's going to put up with these murder of these 20 kids and 6 adults? Things will certainly change, won't they? Well, they won't change unless we look at the problem. We look it square in the eye and look at it that it's the heart of man that's the problem. I don't know if any of you have anything to say. I just wanted you to know that God is still alive on this planet too. Don't forget that. And he's far greater than Satan is, and he can control the circumstances, and he works those things out. And he is working in this world to accomplish his plan and his purposes. And I don't doubt that there for a moment. I hope you don't doubt it. You see, Satan would love for you to doubt. Doubt his control. Doubt his love. How can a loving God do that? How can a loving God do that? Doubts are just a little seed of doubt. And doubt is sin, you know that. So I hope, maybe this was done for our sake, to wake us up to what's happening. Anybody else? Anyone want to say anything? I want to just let you know that God's still alive and he's working. He's accomplishing his plan and his purpose. Sometimes I don't like the way he works, you know, in my own life and in the lives of other people. But you know, when you come through it, I'm like Joseph. You meant it for evil, but God intended it for good. So let's see what happens. I would admonish you to look for the good that God is doing. We look at all the bad things, but let's look at the good things that he's doing in our lives and maybe in the lives of these people that have been affected by this terrible, horrendous crime. No doubt about it. Terrible things happened. Anybody else want to say anything? I'm opening it to you. Yes, John?
You're right about the word. Back in the 50s, when Madeline was there, that prayer and Bible reading taken out of school. If you remember, one person did that.
Right. Yeah, Madeline Murray, some of you don't remember that name even, but Madeline Murray was the one who was an atheist and wanted to get the Bible reading out of schools, and she succeeded in doing that and going going to the Supreme Court and outlawing reading. By the way, when we said the Lord's Prayer in school, the teacher that I had read a chapter every day to us. Sat in class and she opened the Bible and read a chapter to us. And then she would pray and then she would open it up and we would all pray together the Lord's Prayer. And then when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, all that's gone. All that's gone. It only takes one voice in the wilderness to change things. You know that. And maybe you're that voice, and maybe there's a combination of voices that are here this morning that can begin to change things. I had a thing up on the board a couple of weeks ago about changing things in the world. You know, it doesn't take many to change. As a matter of fact, that's the way it's always been. It's only been a few that have changed the world. And if we're going to change things, it may be just a few. But they can change it. It may take one, it may take two, it may take three. But it just takes a few to begin to change things. And we're a few. We're not many. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to change the United States, but I'm thinking in our minds and in our hearts we can begin to change things for the people that we have contact with, that we meet up with each day. Anybody else have anything to say? Vicki and then Marianne. Oh, absolutely. That's true. Right, right. Right. I think the home and the church has a great responsibility. Now, the true church I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the liberal church, or they're not teaching anything, but the true church has a real responsibility to teach the truth. Oh, yeah. Right. Right. Well, we're no more than animals. We just come along, and you know what's life? It's going to end now, and it's all over anyhow. So, it's not worth anything. Right. And there's absolutely no discipline. No discipline. I would tell you, when I went to school, we had a paddle in my school in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. That had holes in the end of it. Do you know what I mean? And I felt that paddle a number of times. I won't tell you how many, but I felt it a number of times. And I was called up to the front of the room, and I was told to put my hands on the desk, and I got it. And it hurt. Can I tell you something? I never went home and told my parents that happened. Because if I went home to tell my parents that I was disciplined in school, I got it again. And if they heard about it, I got it again. And there's absolutely no discipline. There's free spirit in everything. And is it any wonder that we have a society that has, 50% of the babies that are born out of wedlock? The crime, the drugs, all the things that have come upon us. I don't remember anybody speaking about drugs when I was young. I remember one time a fellow by the name of Gene Kupa, I don't know if any of you remember, he was a drummer for a band, a big band. Some of you older people remember. And I remember that he was smoking marijuana, and what a terrible thing that was. I never heard of drugs in school. Drinking, yes. Drugs, no. Now, we weren't any better. Our hearts were still wrong. You know what I mean? We're still deceitful and desperately wicked. But there's been an influx of all these things that have come upon us, all it seems like all at once. And it's just tearing us apart. Because there's no moral teaching. At the home, at the school, and from our leaders. Our leaders are just as corrupt as that killer up there. Some of them are worse because they do it deceptively. And they stand in their position as a leader and spout out righteous things, but they're unrighteous lies. Colleges are even worse. You're right. Colleges are terrible. I mean, what they're being taught is unbelievable. Well, see, it goes, we departed from the Scriptures. And the further we get away from God, the further worse things are going to get. It probably won't get any better. It does. It does prove that Scripture is true. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a confirmation of Scripture. That what is happening is exactly what Scripture says will happen. Exactly right. I don't want to belabor the point, but I thought we need to talk about this just a little bit this morning. I know it's on all of our minds. I know the heartache that all of us have for those people up there. And we need to be praying for them. We need to see God work in the lives of those people. And maybe we ought to be on the lookout for that, to see what's going to happen as a result of this. Maybe it will change the atmosphere in the high offices of our country to begin to look at things a little bit differently. The moral decline has been horrendous. Anybody else? Bob? Right.
And,
prove
our walk with the Lord and have a stronger church.
Right. As I said, we need a voice in the wilderness. We need someone to take a stand for the truth. And it has to happen here in each of our lives. We have to stand for the truth. If we don't stand for the truth, who's going to stand for the truth? Right. Yeah, I agree with that. We paid lip service too long to the Bible and not lived by it. Anybody, John?
I believe that we need to be aware of the circumstances in our life. The danger is getting upset with them and putting all our focus on the circumstances.
Right. It is there to be had. John talking about the Lord being our peace, and it is true that Christ is our peace, and it's an opportunity for us in the midst of all the chaos that's going on to show a peace. I was going to read to you out of Romans. Maybe you ought to turn there, and just again, I should have done this a little bit earlier, but turn to Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter 1. And you're familiar with it, but I thought it might be good to begin to read. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You could preach on these, you know, every verse, every word you could preach on. I could spend hours on this, but you know, when we take God out of all of creation, out of creation man, out of creation of his world, we're left with animals, and that's what we begin to worship as he goes down through. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, now notice this, wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. Are we living in that day? I read that last night as I was just thinking about this. And I thought, that's where we're at today. It hasn't changed. Do you know why it hasn't changed? Man is still man. He's still corrupt. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a useless mind, to do those things which are unseemly. Killing little children. Unseemly. That doesn't fit the picture, does it? I can't imagine what these people are thinking about when they go up there and they see this. This couldn't happen. What's the problem? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. What's the next word? Murder. Isn't that interesting? In the light of all that is happening, God gave them over to this very thing. So right on. Murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolvent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they who do commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What a picture. What a picture of our society. Al? No. You're right. I'll make a comment. None of us are equal. God made us all as unique people. We're all different. If we're all equal, we'd all think the same thing, do the same thing, believe the same thing. We're not. You have a far greater mind than I do. You understand things that I will never be able to understand. And all of you have such capacities. I tell you what, I come back the other day and I told my wife, this church is amazing. We have intelligent people in this church. I don't understand it. You have a stupid pastor and I have intelligent people. But you see, when you know the truth, you know the truth. I told my Sunday school class, the truth shall set you free. What does it set you free from? From yourself. From all of this thing, all these things that are going on. Set you free. It sets you free to be happy, to enjoy life, to have the fullness of eternal life. We're free. Judy?
God.
Right.
But he had them. And he had a job that God gave him to do. And then on top of it, God gave him another place to do it.
Right.
And he did it. And then I look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and I see how Lot was one man that was taken out of that city. One man. And all that filthy sinfulness. The bottom line is, God is still God, and it's all part of his plan.
Right.
All this is exactly, either it's exactly like it's supposed to be or it's not.
Right.
And whether God is full or whether God is not, it's exactly right. How God has it to be.
Right.
And it is so peaceful to know that. It is so peaceful to know that our paths and our steps are directed by him every day. Whether we see it or whether we don't, you know,
right.
And to stand with other believers and to stand on the truth, you know, it's just, I don't see any other way of having peace.
I don't either.
I don't think Noah would have had any other way.
No.
You know, all he did was every day he did the next thing.
Right.
Right. For 120 years, despite the fact that it was ridiculous,
right.
I think in his mind, he built the ark for
120 years. You're exactly right.
So now here we are in the middle. So pulled down by all that is happening, but then my peace is gone and my joy is gone.
Right. See, that's exactly what I said. You're free to be happy in Christ. You're free to enjoy what God has provided for us in Christ. We're not slaves any longer. We're free men. We're free.
And it's still his story.
Right. It's still his story. Absolutely. And what has happened, if God is sovereign, see, what bothers me with so many people, they say he's sovereign, but he's not sovereign in this situation. Well, what is he sovereign over if he's not sovereign in everything? He has to be sovereign in everything or he's not sovereign. And I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. God, I mean, my little mind will never understand it. And I'm going to get to heaven someday and I'm going to say, I don't understand why you did it. And he'll say, well, I'll show you why I did it. And I'll say, oh, I do understand it now. But I didn't have enough faith down here to believe that God was working. And for all the years that Noah spent in building the ark, I mean, tedious hard work, no rain, never rained, and he's saying there's going to be a flood? What? How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous to say that God is sovereign over everything. Ridiculous. But he is. He is. There are better days coming for us. We're going to be taken out of this world. And as John said, this may be God showing us this very thing. Are you anxious to go? Are you anxious to go? Are you ready to go? Or is there just one more thing you want to do down here before you go? Oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. Then the Lord can come. Well, I'm glad the Lord's not waiting on those kind of decisions because he would never come. I believe he's going to come. And his word is true, exactly what John said. That's all. These are all evidences of God's truth of his word. He said this is what's going to happen. I just read it to you out of Romans. The end result, murder. Are we surprised? Yes, Lee? Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah, Linda and I were talking about that he was willing to go to the cross for us. One who is absolutely, he's the only innocent one. From Adam and Eve, there has been no one that's been innocent. I don't want to stop you. Go ahead. You go ahead and finish. But I.
Yeah.
it's a wake-up call for each one of us, but it's a wake-up call for the church too, as a body. We do form a body. I mean, I'm just not talking about this congregation, but a body around this world. There are believers that are united with each other in Christ. And it may be a wake-up call for us. This isn't unusual, you know. I mean, you can go to Israel and you can see a bomb going off in a school and children being killed. You can go to Syria or to Iran, and it's nothing for them to kill hundreds of people. Innocent as far as we're concerned. They didn't do anything worthy of death in that situation. They weren't innocent. They were guilty of sin. Right, at that background that Christ did come, yes. Right. All right, I got 5 minutes. Anybody else? I wanted to get into Philippians this morning. Yeah. Yes, how many babies did Herod kill? Yep. How many were killed in Egypt? Right.
And I went back to Psalm 106, and I was very intrigued by what was written by Psalm. He said that Israel, if they were traveling from Egypt.
Why don't you turn around and talk to everyone, John?
If Israel was traveling from Egypt, that God has delivered them and has taken them to the promised land, they went through some very terrible times. And this is what the Psalm is writing. They did not destroy the people.
Right. We forget about that, you know. Yeah, that they sacrifice their own children.
And God was so angry that he allowed the people to get absorbed completely into the practices of those nations, and those nations in turn seen and brought havoc on his people until God heard their cry.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Our natures are still corrupt. One other thing, and I said this in the first hour, I'll say it again. There is a philosophy that God loves the sinner and hates sin. And it's as if God will punish the sin, but he won't punish the sinner. Because he's a God of love. And you're going to hear this in the days to come. It's going to come out that where is this God of love that you all believe in? Well, God is not only a God of love, but he's also a God of justice and a God of righteousness. And he deals with his people in this world the way he sees fit. And we forget that our God is a consuming fire also. So don't fall for that God loves the sinner and hates the sin. God so loved the world, and I often reminded you that word love there is an aorist tense in John 3:16. It meant that he did love the world. It's been accomplished. It's over. The act of love that God had for the world was done on the cross. Any love that the world is going to get from that point on is if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is loved of God. He becomes a beloved. He becomes a child of God and a son of God. He's the apple. We become the apple of his eye. So you understand that the world is without Christ is doomed. How it happens, well, it's going to happen. And what's happened in Connecticut happened, and that's all under the sovereign control of God. He knows what he's doing. We don't understand it. All we've been called to do is to trust him. So our time is up. We'll pick up Philippians next week. And next week you may hear a Christmas message. I haven't decided yet. I think I had two annual Christmas messages. This will be my third annual Christmas message if I have it. Well, let's have a word of prayer. So, Father, we thank you again for your loving kindness and your grace. Father, we don't understand all things, but you haven't called us to understand. You called us to believe and to trust in you. And so this morning, in light of all the circumstances that we have seen in the past days and months, we want to trust in you. We know you know what you're doing. We believe you know what you know. We know you know what you're doing. And so, Father, may our trust be put in you. If there's any doubts, I want you to understand that doubt is sin and we need to confess it. Our faith must be in our God. He is our refuge. He is our light. And so we must look to him. So we thank you this morning for the opportunity we've had to share these few thoughts about circumstances in this world, things that have happened just recently. We'd ask you to take them and press them upon our hearts that we might continue to trust in you, the sovereign God. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.